This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال ابن رجب الحنبلي رحمه الله في كتابه بيان فضل علم السلف على علم الخلف. ومن علامات ذلك عدم قبول الحق والانقياد إليه والتكبر على من يقول الحق وخصوصا إن كان دونهم في أعين الناس. والإصرار على الباطل خشية تفرق قلوب الناس عنهم بإظهار الرجوع إلى الحق. ربما أظهروا بألسنتهم ذم أنفسهم فيمدحون باحتقارها. ربما أظهروا بألسنتهم ذم أنفسهم واحتقارها على رؤوس الأشهاد ليعتقد الناس فيهم أنهم عند أنفسهم متواضعون فيمدحون بذلك، وهو من دقائق أبواب الرياء كما نبه عليه التابعون فمن بعدهم من العلماء. ويظهر منهم من قبول المدح واستجلابه مما ينافي الصدق والإخلاص، فإن الصادق يخاف النفاق على نفسه ويخشى على نفسه من سوء الخاتمة، فهو في شغل شاغل عن قبول المدح واستحسانه. A further sign of this is that such a person will not accept the truth or submit to it. He will act arrogantly towards those who speak the truth, especially if they are seen to be of a lesser status than him in the eyes of the people.
Further sign of this, meaning from the signs of not beneficial knowledge, of having knowledge which isn't beneficial, is that a person can't accept the truth even when the evidences are made clear to them. And this isn't speaking about when the Salaf themselves had genuine differences of opinion, so you choose one opinion over the other because you think that's stronger. No, we're talking about positions where you're going against the position of all of the Salaf. You've disagreed with them completely. And when someone makes it clear to you that that position was not the understanding of the companions and the tabi'een in the issue of aqidah or whatever it may be, then you still reject it and you refuse to accept it. That's what the author is speaking about. That's a sign from the signs of that knowledge not being beneficial.
He will persist upon this falsehood simply out of fear that the hearts of the people might oppose him by his returning to the truth.
Because you fear then that that group of people that respect you now, they will no longer respect you because you've turned away from them and you've left them. So when you see, for example, the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when the Prophet wrote the letter to Hiraql, the Roman leader, in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's a long narration. And Hiraql reads the letter of the Prophet and he questions Abu Sufyan in front of him. What does he say at the end? This is the Prophet we've all been waiting for. And then when all of his people were threatening to rebel against him because they didn't accept the Prophet, even though he knew that it was the truth, what did he do? He left the truth to preserve his kingdom and to preserve his power. That's the worst of people. He knows that it's the truth, but he's going to give precedence to the dunya over what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, those people, they fear for their position amongst their followers and their people, and so they'll stay away from the Quran and the Sunnah simply to keep hold of that position that they have.
Such people may even publicly censor themselves and show that they think little of themselves in front of an audience so that people believe that they are humble and thereby praise them. This is from the subtler forms of showing off as pointed out by the successors and those scholars who came after them. Their willing acceptance of praise and encouragement of it negates their claim of being truthful and sincerity. The truthful person will always fear falling into hypocrisy and meeting an evil end. Such a person is always fighting off being praised and accepted and accepting it. قال رحمه الله فلهذا كان من علامات أهل العلم النافع أنهم لا يرون لأنفسهم حالا ولا مقاما ويكرهون بقلوبهم التزكية والمدح ولا يتكبرون على أحد. قال الحسن رحمه الله إنما الفقيه الزاهد في الدنيا الراغب في الآخرة البصير بدينه المواظب على عبده المواظب على عبادة ربه. وفي رواية عنه قال الذي لا يحسد من فوقه ولا يسخر ممن دونه ولا يأخذ على علم علمه الله أجرا
علمه الله
أحسن الله إليكم ولا يأخذ على علم علمه الله أجرا. وهذا الكلام الأخير قد روي معناه عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما من قوله وأهل العلم النافع كلما ازدادوا من هذا العلم ازدادوا لله تواضعا وخشية وانكسارا وذلا. قال بعض السلف ينبغي للعالم أن يضع التراب على رأسه تواضعا لربه، فإنه كلما ازداد علما بربه ومعرفة به ازداد منه خشية ومحبة وازداد له ذلا وانكسارا. This is why a sign of the people of knowledge is that they do not think of themselves to be of any great estates or station. They detest in their hearts praise and commendation, and they do not act arrogantly towards anyone.
So the author now is going back to the signs of the people of knowledge. The people who have beneficial knowledge is going back to more of their signs. How you recognize them from them is that they're people of humility and humbleness. Despite their knowledge, despite what Allah has given to them, they don't use that as a means of showing arrogance towards others. And if they speak out, they speak out of love for the religion of Allah and defending the religion of Allah, not because they want to get one over on others or to show that they're more knowledgeable, but to uphold the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His laws.
Al-Hasan said, the jurist is the one who abstains from this world and desires the hereafter. He has insight into this religion and is continuous in the worship of his Lord. In another narration, he says concerning the scholar, one who does not envy those above him or mock those beneath him and does not take wages for the knowledge that Allah has taught him. The meaning of this last statement has also been reported to us from Umar radiallahu anhuma, from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. The more the people of this beneficial knowledge increase in knowledge, the more they increase in humility before Allah, fear of Him, and submission to Him. Some of the self said the scholar should place dust. Some scholars said the scholar should place dust on his head, out of humility before his Lord. Each time he increases in knowledge of his Lord, he increases in fear and love of Him, as well as humility and submission.
And so the person who's seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah, teaching knowledge for the sake of Allah, doesn't matter who is impressed or not impressed, how many followers he has or doesn't have, how many students he have or doesn't have. His goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to teach the knowledge that is authentic. People like it, they like it. They don't like it, they don't like it. And those people who follow after numbers and views and followers and students and those types of issues, then sooner or later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their affair known to the people. Because it's not done purely and sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
قال رحمه الله تعالى ومن علامات العلم النافع أنه يدل صاحبه على الهرب من الدنيا وأعظمها الرياسة والشهرة والمدح فالتباعد عن ذلك والاجتهاد في مجانبته من علامات العلم النافع فإن وقع شيء من ذلك من غير قصد واختيار كان صاحبه في خوف شديد من عاقبته بحيث أنه يخشى أن يكون مكرا واستدراجا كما كان الإمام أحمد يخاف ذلك على نفسه عند اشتهار اسمه وبعد صيته. From the sign of the beneficial knowledge is that it will teach one to flee from this world and what is in it. The worst of which is the desire of leadership, fame, and praise. To avoid this and make every effort in staying away from this is from the sign of the beneficial knowledge. If any of this does occur without his choice or desire, he is in the state of extreme fear of his end, as he fears that it could be a divine plan and a means of gradually leading him to an evil end. It was because of this that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, used to fear for himself once he became famous.
Because the Salaf didn't like to be recognized. Remember last year when we did that book of Abu Khaythama, the Book of Knowledge? He said that some of the Salaf, if they left their sittings or the gatherings of knowledge and they had more than two or three students following them, they tell them to go away. Because when you have a number of people following you, what do people think? Oh, he must be someone important. They didn't like that. They said, don't gather around me. One of you walk with me one at a time, but don't just gather around me like that. So the Salaf didn't like this, people being put into that position, because it's a fitna. And that's why some of the Salaf used to say when this used to happen, it's a fitna for the Sheikh and it's a fitna for the students. And so they didn't like to be well known or famous or to have that type of recognition that everyone knows who they are, like Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. He became famous because of the trials that he went through and because of defending the Sunnah. But when he reached that level of fame, he feared for himself. Because that is one of the ways in which shaitan sometimes enters upon a person and he corrupts their sincerity and their intention.
قال رحمه الله ومن علامات العلم النافع أن صاحبه لا يدعي العلم ولا يفخر به على أحد ولا ينسب غيره إلى الجهل إلا من خالف السنة وأهلها فإنه يتكلم فيها غضبا لله لا غضبا لنفسه ولا قصدا لرفعتها على أحد وأما من علمه غير نافع فليس له شغل سوى التكبر بعلمه على الناس وإظهار فضل علمه عليهم ونسبتهم إلى الجهل وتنقصهم ليرتفع بذلك عليهم وهذا من أقبح الخصال وأردئها وربما نسب من كان قبله من العلماء إلى الجهل والغفلة إلى الجهل والغفلة والسهو، فيوجب له حب نفسه وحب ظهورها وإحسان ظنه بها وإساءة ظنه بمن سلف. From the science of the beneficial knowledge is that one does not claim to have knowledge or become boastful of it. He does not accuse others of ignorance unless they oppose the Sunnah and its people, in which case he speaks against them out of anger for the sake of Allah, not out of his personal anger or the desire of besting him.
And so he doesn't try to show that he's better or more knowledgeable than others, except unless when he needs to speak, because of making clear the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the laws of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and what is better or not better, what is right or wrong, then he speaks, because that is, as Aisha radiallahu anha described the Prophet ﷺ, he never sought revenge for himself unless one of Allah's laws was broken, and then he would speak for the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so if it's the religion of Allah, it's a religious issue, it's an issue of halal or haram, or it's something to do with Allah's religion, then he speaks, because that is from preserving the religion of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But if it's not to do with that, then it's not something which they necessarily would speak concerning.
As for he whose knowledge is not beneficial, he has no concern except to show his supremacy over the rest of the people by the means of his knowledge, to accuse them of ignorance and to demean them. This is from the worst and the lowliest of traits. Such a person will even cast the scholars who came before him as being ignorant and negligent. Because such a person loves himself and wants to promote himself, he had a good opinion of himself and a bad opinion of those who came before him.
And so the student of knowledge should be careful of this. Because sometimes we see students of knowledge, for example, will come to a book of hadith like Tirmidhi or Abu Dawood, and they say that what Tirmidhi was easygoing in his hadith, narrated from everyone, weak narrators. And so he starts to speak about those scholars of Islam and those imams of hadith, and he starts to label them as weak or as easygoing or as lax in their diligence of choosing narrators and so on. Who are you to go and speak about Imam Tirmidhi? Who are you to go and start criticizing someone like a Tirmidhi or Abu Dawood or An-Nasa'i and those imams of Islam? And so sometimes the person, because of their lack of knowledge, may say certain things because they want to show that I've studied this and I know this and I have the ability now to speak about this. And, you know, even against the imams of Islam, that's what he's saying here, that sometimes it's not even about the people around you or the lay people, the average people. He starts speaking now about the scholars and about the imams of the Salaf until it goes higher and higher to levels that are not befitting for anyone.
قال رحمه الله وأهل العلم النافع على ضد هذا يسيئون الظن بأنفسهم ويحسنون الظن بمن سلف من العلماء ويقرون بقلوبهم وأنفسهم بفضل من سلف عليهم وبعجزهم عن بلوغ مراتبهم والوصول إليها أو مقاربتها وما أحسن قول أبي حنيفة وقد سئل عن علقمة والأسود أيهما أفضل فقال والله ما نحن بأهل أن نذكرهم فكيف نفضل بينهم وكان ابن المبارك إذا ذكر أخلاق من سلف ينشد لا تعرضن لذكرنا في ذكرهم ليس الصحيح إذا مشاك المقعد. The people of the beneficial knowledge are the exact opposite. They have a bad opinion of themselves and have a good opinion of the scholars of the past. Their hearts accept the nobility and the excellence of their predecessors and their inability to reach their ranks or come closer to them.
And you see this in the statements of the Salaf. How often Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala would be asked about something, even though his position was other than that. But sometimes someone would ask him a question and he would say, I heard Imam al-Hasan al-Basri had this position. Out of humility and humbleness to the scholars who came before, he didn't want to disparage the position of someone like al-Hasan al-Basri. Even though the majority of the scholars may have differed al-Hasan. But someone came and said, that's what I want to follow. He said, okay, you have al-Hasan al-Basri came before you. He said the same thing. Or Atta' said it, or Mujahid said it. And that's the highest level of humility and humbleness that a scholar can show. And our Shaykh Ibn Muhsin Abad, hafidhahullah ta'ala, often in his lessons, when people would ask him questions, he would say, I heard Shaykh bin Baz used to say this. And Shaykh Ibn Al-Thaymin said this. And other Shaykh, he would always do this. Very common in his questions and answer sessions, he would just say, I heard so-and-so say this. And that's how he would answer his questions. And that's what the Salaf used to do. He would say, so-and-so said it. You have an imam. That's enough for you, that an imam of Islam said it before you. Because what you don't want is to do something that no one did before you. No imam of the Salaf ever said. You have an imam of the Salaf, and that's something that you want to follow. Alhamdulillah, at least you have an imam. That's how you want to take your knowledge in that way. And that's the way of the Salaf. They always are people of humility and humbleness.
Amazing is the saying of Abu Hanifa when he was asked about when he was asked as to which of these two was better, Al-Qama or Al-Aswad. He said, "By Allah, we are not even deserving of mentioning them, let alone determining which of them is better."
Al-Qama and Aswad are two students of Ibn Mas'ud. They are from the teachers of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. He was asked which one of them was better. He said, we shouldn't even be mentioning their names, let alone determining which one is better. Like, we're nothing compared to them. How am I to tell you which one is better than the other? Like, someone comes now and says, oh, is Imam Ahmad better or Shafi'i? Is Malik better or Shafi'i? Is Abu Hanifa's mother better? Who are you to start going into this and leave them? Those imams have done what they did and they sacrificed for Allah's religion. Allah has given them their reward. Not your place to come and start determining who's better and who's not better and who's more pious or not pious, who's more knowledgeable or not knowledgeable. You focus on yourself and learn what you know and what you need to know as opposed to trying to now determine. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He said, Tilka Rusul. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, mentions in the Quran that it's not from the position of the believers to say that some of the prophets of Allah are better than other prophets of Allah. Something, even though Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to some of them status that is higher than other prophets. But if it is done in that way that this one is better than the other, that one's better, my prophet's better than, that's not something which the Prophet ﷺ used to like. And that is why he said in the hadith, in al-Bukhari, none of you should say that I am better than Yunus ibn Matta, the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Even though the Prophet ﷺ, by ijma' of the ummah, is better. By ijma', it's part of our iman that he's the best of Allah's creation. But when it's done as a competition between prophets to demean or belittle one over the other, then it's not something which is from the religion. And so likewise with the scholars of Islam, if it's done to demean one, or to say that this one was better, or my sheikh's better than yours, or my imam, or my madhab, then that's not from the way of the people of knowledge.
When the manners of the Salaf were mentioned to him, Ibn al-Mubarak would say the following verse of poetry, "Do not mention us alongside them. The healthy, when walking, are not like the disrupt."
Decrepit. Meaning the one that can't walk. Meaning us and the Salaf, it's like the person that can't walk and the one that can walk. The difference between us is massive. And so you don't need to involve yourself in these issues.
قال رحمه الله تعالى ومن علمه غير نافع إذا رأى نفسه فضلا على من تقدمه في المقال وتشقق الكلام ظن لنفسه عليهم فضلا في العلم أو الدرجة عند الله لفضل خص به عمن سبق فاحتقر من تقدمه وأزرى عليه بقلة العلم ولا يعلم المسكين أن قلة كلام من سلف إنما كان ورعا وخشية لله ولو أراد الكلام وإطالته لما عجز عن ذلك كما قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما لقوم سمعهم يتمارون في الدين أما علمتم أن لله عبادا أسكتتهم خشية الله من غير عي ولا بكم وإنهم لهم العلماء والفصحاء والطلقاء والنبلاء العلماء بأيام الله غير أنهم إذا تذاكروا
غير أنهم إذا تذكروا عظمة الله طاشت لذلك
عقولهم وانكسرت قلوبهم وانقطعت ألسنتهم حتى إذا استفاقوا من ذلك يسارعون إلى الله بالأعمال الزاكية يعدون أنفسهم من المفرطين وإنهم الأكياس أقوياء ومع الظالمين والخاطئين وإنهم لأبرار براء إلا أنهم لا يستكثرون له الكثير ولا يرضون له بالقليل ولا يدلون عليه بالأعمال هم حيثما لقيتهم مهتمون مشفقون وجلون خائفون خرجه أبو نعيم وغيره. Whoever's knowledge is not beneficial and deems himself to be better than those who preceded him in his position will also deem himself better than them in knowledge or in standing before Allah. He will look down upon those who came before him and mock them for having little knowledge. This poor person does not realize that the lack of speech arising from the Salaf was due to their leaving the permissible and fearing Allah. Had they wished to speak and elaborate, they were fully capable of doing so. When Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma heard some people debating about the religion, he said, "Do you not know that Allah has servants who are silenced by the fear of Allah and not an illness or dumbness? They are true scholars, eloquent, intelligent, noble, scholars aware of Allah's blessings, except that when they remember the greatness of Allah, their minds are overcome, their hearts break from the fear of Allah, and their tongues are silenced. When they recover from this state, they hasten to perform righteous deeds, thinking themselves to be amongst those who had fallen short. They are intelligent and strong against oppressors and sinners, whilst being biased, free of oppression and sin. They never believe that they have done too much and are content with little worship. They do not look down on any actions of worship. They do not look down on any actions of worship. Whenever you meet them, you will find them focused, humble, trembling, and fearful. Reported by Abu Nu'aym and others.
The statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. It's an amazing statement. That the scholars of Islam, all they want to do is worship Allah and do what is pleasing to Allah and find the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what their focus is. That's their focus for themselves, that's their focus for their students, that's their focus in their teaching and in the spreading of knowledge. So they don't busy themselves in things that aren't beneficial, and they don't busy others and their students with things that aren't beneficial. And if they wanted to, they could have, because they were qualified in many, many subjects in many, many areas. But they were always looking out for what is the most pleasing thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how you find a person of true knowledge. All he does is focus on what is pleasing to Allah and spreading what is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal, because he wants people to be engaged in ibadah, wants people to worship Allah and to do good deeds. And he doesn't go into issues that will stop people from worshiping Allah. Like the example that we gave, that example that the author mentions about those people who disputed as to when the last third of the night occurs. How can it occur in one location, at one place? What's that person going to do at the end? He's going to stop people from worshiping Allah in the last third of the night. They're going to think, it doesn't make sense to me. How can it even be? Not possible. That must be weak. And they won't worship Allah. Instead of that, and that's why the scholars used to write books on fada'il, virtues and rewards and merits, even though sometimes many of those narrations had weakness in them. But they would rather you focused on that, because the ibadah of dhikr and Quran and worship of Allah, it's established in the Quran and the Sunnah. Maybe that hadith, that particular wording isn't established, but the principle is established. Better for you to worship Allah by reading Quran, thinking that you get a reward. Even if you don't get that reward, you get other rewards. Rather than you focus on stuff that doesn't benefit you, doesn't help you, only takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
الله إليكم. قال رحمه الله تعالى وأخرج الإمام أحمد والترمذي من حديث أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال الحياء والعي شعبتان من الإيمان والبذاء والبيان شعبتان من النفاق وحسنه الترمذي وخرجه الحاكم وصححه وخرج ابن حبان في صحيحه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال البيان من الله والعي من الشيطان وليس البيان بكثرة الكلام ولكن البيان الفصل في الحق وليس العي قلة الكلام ولكن من سفه الحق وفي مراسيل محمد بن كعب القرظي وفي مراسيل محمد بن كعب القرظي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ثلاث ينقص بهن العبد في الدنيا ويدرك بهن في الآخرة ما هو أعظم من ذلك الرحم والحياء وعي اللسان قال عون بن عبد الله ثلاث من الإيمان الحياء والعفاف والعي عي اللسان لا عي القلب ولا عي العمل وهن مما يزدن في الآخرة وينقصن من الدنيا وما يزدن في الآخرة أكبر مما ينقصن من الدنيا وروي هذا مرفوعا من وجه ضعيف وقال بعض السلف إن كان الرجل لا يجلس إلى قوم فيرون أن به عيا وما به عي إنه لفقيه مسلم. Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi recorded the narration of Abu Umama radiallahu anh that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, modesty and withholding the tongue are two branches of faith. Lowliness and eloquent speech are two branches of hypocrisy. It was declared sound by Tirmidhi and also recorded by Hakim, who declared it authentic.
Al-'i is the inability to talk. Al-'i is someone who has a speech impediment, so they can't talk. And so the meaning of this hadith is that someone who remains quiet, not physically the physical impediment, but someone who observes the same thing, because a person who can't talk physically isn't going to speak much because they physically can't speak. And here in this hadith, it's saying that that's a good thing to have, to be a person who doesn't speak too often, who remains quiet more than they speak. That's a good trait to possess.
Ibn recorded the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Clear speech is from Allah, and inability to speak is from Shaytan. Clear speech is not speaking a great deal, rather it's stating the truth. And inability to speak doesn't mean little. It doesn't mean little speech, but it means to make a mockery of the truth. Amongst the Marasil reports of Muhammad ibn Ka'ab al-Khurazi from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he said, there are three matters which cause the servant loss in this world, but he will find that which is greater than them in return in the hereafter: joining the ties of kingship, modesty, and withholding the tongue.
How do they cause loss in this world? Because sometimes joining the ties of kinship means that you have to do certain things that you wouldn't like to do. You have to sacrifice, you have to do certain things, go out of your way, out of your comfort zone. And likewise, modesty. Modesty sometimes means that you lose certain people around you, certain friends, certain opportunities because of your shyness and your modesty. And withholding your speech or your tongue also. Because people will think this person can't speak, he doesn't have the ability to, not fun to be around, doesn't really joke. You lose certain things. But Muhammad ibn Ka'ab said, even if you lose things in the dunya, what you will gain in the akhirah is much better or far greater.
Aun ibn Abdullah said, three matters are from the faith: modesty, chastity, and withholding. Withholding the tongue, not withholding the heart or actions. These are things which cause gain in the hereafter and loss in this life. But what's gained in the hereafter is greater than that which's lost in this world. This has also been reported as a saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's weak. Some of the Salaf said, perhaps a man sits with some people and they think that he's unable to speak, whereas he's fully capable of speech, but he is a Muslim scholar.
Some of the people, the scholars of the Salaf, because of how little they would speak, people used to think that they had no knowledge, that they didn't know anything, that they had nothing to contribute to the conversation. And that's not the case. It's just because they used to withhold their tongues. And that's why some of the Salaf used to say that people you sit with, you think that that person has no knowledge because he's unknown to you. You don't know who he is. You don't know his value. But in reality, that person's a scholar. He's an imam. But he just won't speak about anything and everything. He will only speak when it is beneficial.
فمن عرف قدر السلف عرف أن سكوتهم عما سكتوا منه من ضروب الكلام وكثرة الجدال والخصام والزيادة في البيان على مقدار الحاجة لم يكن عيا ولا جهلا ولا قصورا وإنما كان ورعا وخشية لله واشتغالا عما لا ينفع بما ينفع وسواء في ذلك كلامهم في وصول الدين وفروعه وفي تفسير القرآن والحديث وفي الزهد والرقائق والحكم والمواعظ وغير ذلك مما تكلموا فيه فمن سلك سبيلهم فقد اهتدى ومن سلك غير سبيلهم ودخل في كثرة السؤال والبحث والجدال والقيل والقال فإن اعترف لهم بالفضل وعلى نفسه بالنقص كان حاله قريبا. Whoever knows the worthy of the Salaf will know that their silence is certain matters such as excessive speech, argumentation and debating and increasing upon explanation beyond that it's necessary does not come from an inability to speak, nor ignorance, nor due to shortcoming. Rather, it comes from their leaving off the permissible fear of Allah and their preoccupying themselves with those affairs which would be benefit rather than those affairs that contain no benefit, regardless of whether it to be in the foundations of the religion or it is tertiary issues. The tafsir of the Quran, the explanation of the hadith, asceticism, matters which soften the heart, wisdoms and exhortations, and whatever else the Salaf spoke about. Whoever follows the path in this is rightly guided, and whoever does not instead involve in himself in excessive questioning, disputation and speculations is not rightly guided. However, if this later person was to admit the excellence and his own shortcoming, then he is closer to them.
There are three types of people the author is saying when it comes to following the Salaf. The first are those people who strive to follow the way of the Salaf to the best of their ability, to learn from their knowledge and to seek from that knowledge and to follow in their footsteps. They are the best of those people, and Allah Azza wa Jalla rewards them for their efforts and their sincerity. The second group of people are those who oppose the way of the Salaf, and they belittle the Salaf, and they demean the Salaf, and they believe that they are more knowledgeable than the Salaf. And those are the people that are far away from that path and from that methodology. And the third group of people are those who oppose the way of the Salaf, but not because they think that they are better, but for some other shortcoming, a lack of iman or whatever it may be. They know that the knowledge of the Salaf is greater, but for one shortcoming or other, they still don't follow that path or they don't follow it completely. Those people are in the middle. What they do of good, they get that good. And what they do of harm or evil or wrong, then that's upon them as well.
أحسن الله إليكم. وقد قال رحمه الله تعالى وقد قال إياس بن معاوية ما من أحد لا يعرف عيب نفسه إلا وهو أحمق. قيل له فما عيبك؟ قال كثرة الكلام، وإن ادعى لنفسه الفضل ولمن سبقه النقص والجهل فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا وخسر خسرانا عظيما. وفي الجملة ففي هذه الأزمان الفاسدة إما أن يرضى الإنسان لنفسه أن يكون عالما عند الله أو لا يرضى إلا بأن يكون عند أهل الزمان عالما. فإن رضي بالأول فليكتفي بعلم الله فيه، ومن كان بينه وبين الله معرفة اكتفى بمعرفة الله إياه، ومن لم يرضى إلا بأن يكون عالما عند الناس دخل في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من طلب العلم ليباهي به العلماء أو يماري به السفهاء أو ليصرف به وجوه الناس إليه فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. إياس بن معاوية said, only a fool is unaware of his own deficiencies. It was asked of him, what is your shortcomings? He replied, speaking too much.
Yes, Ibn Muawiyah is from the scholars of the Tabi'een. He said, every person of intelligence and knowledge should know his own weaknesses. So someone asked him, what's your weakness? He said, I speak too much. Even though that generation of scholars didn't speak as much as those who came later. But even for them, they recognize that what we're doing is more than what the companions did. And sometimes there's a need, as we said. Sometimes it's to refute people's wrong or people's harm or whatever it may be, the innovations. So there's a need for it. So it's not always wrong, but it's about recognizing the methodology. So if there's a need to do it, it's halal. In fact, sometimes it's wajib upon you to speak more, to refute evil or to correct a misunderstanding or to help people learn their religion. You have to. That's part of our religion. But just as it being a norm or a methodology or to think that that means necessarily that it's better than the way of those who spoke less from the Salaf, that's where the problem is, as the author has mentioned throughout this book.
However, if this latter person was to attribute excellence to himself and deficiency and ignorance to those who preceded him, then he has clearly deviated and has suffered a great loss. In summary, in these corrupt times, it's upon the person to either to be content that he's a scholar in the sight of Allah, or not be content with this, and instead content himself with being a scholar in the eyes of the people. If he chooses the first, then let him suffice with Allah's recognition of him. For whoever has a special relationship with Allah will suffice with Allah's recognition of him. Whoever chooses the second, then he falls under the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever seeks knowledge to compete with the scholars or to argue with the fools or to win the attention of the people, let him take his place in the fire.
Like everything in this religion, if you do it for the sake of Allah and to please Allah, Allah will recognize you and Allah will make the people happy with you and Allah will open for you the treasures of this life and the next. But if you do it for the people and you turn away from Allah, then Allah will give to you only the people and you won't have anything from Allah Azza wa Jal or the reward of the Akhirah.
أحسن الله إليكم. قال رحمه الله تعالى قال وهيب بن ورد رب عالم يقول له الناس عالم وهو معدود عند الله من الجاهلين. وفي صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن أول من تسعر به النار ثلاثة: أحدهم من قرأ القرآن وتعلم العلم ليقال هو قارئ أو قال هو عالم ويقال له قد قيل ذلك، ثم أمر به فيسحب على وجهه حتى ألقي في النار، فإن لم تقنع نفسه بذلك حتى تصل درجة الحكم بين الناس حيث كان أهل الزمان لا يعظمون من لم يكن كذلك ولا يلتفتون إليه، فقد استبدل الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير وانتقل من درجة العلماء إلى درجة الظلمة. وهيب ابن الورد said, it could be that a scholar is called such by the people, but in the sight of Allah, he's from the ignorant.
Meaning that what is important is what the people call you. What is important is the way that Allah sees you. If the people all call you a scholar, or they all call you a pious man, or they all call you generous, but in the sight of Allah, you're none of those things, it doesn't matter what the people call you. And so it's not about what the people see you as, or what they call you, or the labels they give you. What matters is what Allah Azza wa Jal sees you as, and what He calls you with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Imam Muslim recorded the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first to be burnt in the fire are three: one of whom is the scholar and the reciter of the Quran, who only learnt the knowledge that they might be called a scholar or a reciter. That was seen by them, that was said of them, and they will be dragged face first into the fire. If one does not content his soul with this, contenting it instead with the position of judge, simply because this is the position that people respect, then he has chosen that which is lesser instead of that which is best, and he has removed it from the ranks of the scholars to the ranks of the oppressors.
Meaning he wants the label of the people like the label of judge, right in the time of Ibn Rajab. It's one of the highest positions that you can use or reach as a scholar. You're the judge, you're the mufti, you're the, you know, sheikh, whatever it may be. He's saying that's what people want now. They want the label, they want the position. Whoever wants that, Allah will give it to them. But they won't have the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah doesn't care about the labels that people give to you or the qualifications that you have or what the people say. Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at your heart and your action and your iman and your ikhlas. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla looks at.
قال رحمه الله ولهذا قال بعض السلف لما أريد على القضاء فأباه إنما تعلمت العلم لأحشر به مع الأنبياء لا مع الملوك فإن العلماء يحشرون مع الأنبياء والقضاة يحشرون مع الملوك ولا بد للمؤمن من صبر قليل حتى يصل به إلى راحة طويلة فإن جزع ولم يصبر فهو كما قال ابن المبارك من صبر فما أقل ما يصبر ومن جزع فما أقل ما يتمتع. وكان الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله ينشد يا نفس ما هي إلا صبر أيامي كان مدتها أضغاث أحلامي يا نفس جوزي عن الدنيا مبادرة وخلي عنها فإن العيش قدامي فنسأل الله تعالى علما نافعا ونعوذ به من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من هؤلاء الأربع. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. This is why one of the Salaf was offered the position of judge. He refused it, saying, I only sought knowledge so that I may be resurrected with the prophets, not that I may be resurrected with kings. The scholars are resurrected with the prophets, and the judges are resurrected with the kings.
Not all of them, obviously, but those who take that position for the sake of the dunya. Otherwise, there are judges, as we know, that do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they have a great station in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it also is the norm that there are many judges who do it for the dunya because of the position and the wealth that comes with it and the power that is attached to it.
It's necessary that the believer has a small amount of patience in order for him to attain the everlasting bliss. If he despairs and becomes impatient, he is, as Ibn al-Mubarak said, whoever has patience, how short is the duration of his patience? Whoever despairs, how short is the duration of his enjoyment?
Imagine meaning that if you want to be patient, then you only have to be patient for a short time before Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a reward. And if you're not going to be patient and you're going to take the dunya, then even the time of the dunya is short. Either way, it is short. But one will bring eternal happiness and reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, and the other one brings nothing except the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, used to say the following lines of poetry. Oh my soul, it's only a few days of patience. Its length is like a fleeting dream. Oh my soul, through this world passes swiftly, and leave it for true life lies ahead. We ask Allah for beneficial knowledge, and we seek refuge with Him from knowledge that does not benefit, from the heart that does not fear Allah, from the soul that is not content, and from a supplication that is not answered. O Allah, we seek refuge with you from these four. All praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. May Allah bestow His peace and blessings upon our leader Muhammad, upon all of his family and all his companions.
This book of Ibn Rajab, as we saw, it's an amazing book. Not very long, but contains very important lessons and reminders for all of us. And inshallah ta'ala, we come with that to the end of this weekend's course. And I give my ijazah to you in the three books that we studied, the book of Ibn Faris, Ma'khud al-Ilm, and the book of Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, Al-Rihla fi Talib al-Hadith, and this book of Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And if you registered, as you know by now, the process, inshallah ta'ala, you will receive those ijazas in due course and in due time. And I want us, inshallah ta'ala, to remember what we learned this weekend as we progress in terms of seeking knowledge and striving for knowledge and traveling for the sake of knowledge and seeking the knowledge of the Salaf that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah ta'ala, as I said, we will have our Q&A on Tuesday, 8 p.m., inshallah, online. And our next course will now be after Hajj, around mid-July sometime, bidna ta'ala. And that information will be given out, inshallah, on the Telegram groups closer to the time. Barakallahu feekum wa salli ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.